What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to orthosensi.com to learn more about their services. Remember, that's orthosensi.com. I'm your host, Double T, Travis. There, great show lined up for you this evening. We have the South Dearborn Boys Basketball Program being represented in studio here this evening. You're also going to hear from East Central Football Head Coach Jake Miners and Mr. Football himself, Josh Ringer, on the second half of our show. But we're going to spend about 20 minutes time with Coach Cosgrove, the head man of the South Dearborn Knights, and two captains here tonight, which we'll let them introduce themselves here in just a moment. A couple of quick sports headlines. Yes, Josh Ringer, Mr. Football in Indiana, EIAC Fall All-Conference teams. We got a couple of all-conference players here in studio. You can read more about that at EagleCountryOnline.com. Shout-out to Harrison High School's Chloe Deerwester, a three-time state champion committing to wrestle at Presbyterian College, so she's going to go D1. And Jacksonville's Brad Borgman and East Central's Brett Snodgrass named to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame 2024 Silver Anniversary Team, which means that they did some really good things on the basketball court 25 years ago. They're going to be honored in 2024. So, again, those are stories you can read up on over at EagleCountryOnline.com. But we got some familiar faces here in studio. You guys have been here a time or two for the Crunch Time thing. So go ahead and introduce yourselves. Coach, you want to do an introduction?
I guess I'll start. Patrick Cosgrove, head coach at South Dearborn, and I brought our two senior captains this year, Adam Kunkel and Brody Tiki, and I know they've both been on here. So
yeah, they know the
deal.
Yeah,
we're ready.
We don't have to go through the whole introductions. We will say congratulations on the all-conference, though, for fall sports, Adam in football, Brody in soccer. You guys want to reflect on your time as footballers? You're both footballers, just different styles there.
That's right.
Here we go first.
Yeah, it was a great time. We talked about it earlier, but I'll forever remember those memories I had playing football, and I'll appreciate all the guys I got to play with. I had a lot of fun, had a lot of great experiences, had some fun wins, had some tough losses, but you know, I'll remember those for the rest of my life, and I'm thankful for it.
Set some records along the way there, too. You got to throw that in there. I'll talk you up there. I think you might not want to do that. Brody?
I didn't set any records, but wasn't very good, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I wasn't very good, but so we were good as a team. The only reason I played was because of Coach Wisman. Mm-hmm. He talked me up, and then he recruited me, and that's what helped me. And I can't say it was bad. It was pretty good. I don't know what to say about it.
I gotta say, we have similar high school athletic experiences, because I was primarily a basketball player, and I kind of got recruited to play soccer too, and I wasn't very good, but I scored a decent amount of goals, and you did too. So
I was just right there when it put it in the net.
Right place, right time. That's what it's all about. So hey, you made all conference. That's pretty cool. All right, so we'll stop talking about the fall sports stuff and move into basketball. That's what we're here for tonight. Coming off a 15-9 season last year, really Ryan Willoughby was the big loss to graduation from a leadership and production standpoint. But you do have a pretty good amount of experience back this year, Coach. What do you think of your group collectively as you're early on in this 2023-24 season?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously, yes, we did lose a lot in the one guy that led us in pretty much every single statistical category. So that's hard to replace. But when you look at it, every year everyone loses a couple big seniors,
100%.
Right? So, you know, you could say, yeah, we wish we still had that guy. But I don't wish Greensburg still had their two guys.
Sure.
I don't wish Batesville still had their 6'10 guy. You know what I mean? I'm happy those guys left. I'm glad all those goons from Connersville left. They beat us up last year. So I'm not, you know, it would be great. But, you know, I think last year we played basically a senior and a bunch of juniors.
Mm-hmm.
So now the nice thing about those juniors is they become seniors. And that's where we're at now. You know, we learned a lot of hard lessons last year, and we're continuing to learn some hard lessons this year, unfortunately, but that's just part of the game. You know, I think we are still definitely a work in progress. I myself am still trying to, you know, find lineups and you know, rotations and who plays better with who and in what situations. And, you know, we're got a great group of reliable, mature seniors, which not everyone can say.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't always been able to say that in my other stops. So that is refreshing as a head coach, knowing you don't have to worry about any other stuff. you know, all the off the court stuff that some people have to deal with.
Sure.
It's one of the best things about being at South Dearborn. But then it's also a group of guys that just want to win. I'm fairly confident that, you know, after a win, no one really is in there thinking, I wish I would have scored more. And same as after a close loss, nor are guys really throwing each other under the bus or thinking I need more shots or anything like that. So we're a lot, you know, it is nice to be able to throw guys in, egoless basketball. And then it also allows us to kind of mix in some young guys, too, that it is always that delicate balance as a head coach, right? You're playing for the present. You owe it to these guys. This is part of their legacy, right? And it's our job to be as competitive as possible in every game we play. But then you're also, as a head coach, can't worry about just this year at the same time because you're always looking future as well. And the long-term development, the long-term health of the program.
So let's talk to your two senior captains here. You've been in the program 2 years, well, this second year now with Coach Cosgrove, but you guys have played a lot of varsity basketball. How's that helped you kind of getting started this season, maybe being in more of a leadership role on this team?
I think to start out, we like already know the program, so we're just used to it. We can help the younger people like get, like our defense is set. You have to do this in order to be good, so we can help them do that. Kind of lets us play free, so just all that's like pretty easy to deal with.
Yeah, we don't have to deal with a lot of the nerves that some of the other underclassmen do, and in late game situations, if there are nerves with the underclassmen, we're able to talk to them, pull them aside. I typically try to look at their eyes and see if they're like their eyes are big. If you see that, you know, just go over and be like, hey dude, it's just basketball. You've been playing this for 10 years. It's nothing different than what you've been playing.
All right, so you guys are off to a 4-2 start. You won the first four games, a couple really close ones. The last two, lost those two games by 6 points combined. So from the outside looking in, you're a few plays away from potentially being 6-0. So I'll go to the players first. How do you guys think you've played through those first six games? And what could you have maybe done differently in the last two games to make those wins instead of losses?
I'll make Coach happy with this one. This was one of the first things he said today. We are 4-2. We could be 6-0, but we could also very easily be 2-4. So we just, obviously we've played well. We've won four games, but they've all been very close, and we haven't necessarily taken the next step of just being able to play to the level of the competition and just be able to play our game and be able to take the next step in that sense. We're working on it every day, and when we do, when we are able to get over that hump and play the basketball that we want to play and play the game we want to play, we're going to be a really good team.
Brady, you want to weigh in at all on those first six games?
Yeah, you got it pretty good there. I think a lot of it's just in-game stuff. Where a lot of it we're ahead. Like at Carnesville at home, we were up 6 at one point. Just couldn't put it away. Just a lot of turnovers that cost us. But like you said, we're at practice, when we do it right, we look pretty good. And we'll be fine, hopefully, in the long run.
Work in progress, as always, Coach. And I'm supposed to be the optimist and the positive guy from this standpoint, you know, looking at it in the lens that you could be 6-0. Sure. But the coach, you got to bring him back down to earth a little bit and say, yeah, you could be 2-4. So what's your assessment of your team through those first six games?
I'm really glad you asked that question, because I wanted to hear if they listened to anything I said at any practice before today.
Yeah, so I appreciate
that.
I'm trying to help out as best I can.
That's where I brought them. Yep. Another 15 guys, who knows? So make me look good. Yeah, I think we could legit be 6-0. We've been up multiple possessions every game we played. So, I mean, that's in the second half, including the two losses. That is the game, though. Unless you have some sort of elite team, when you look at most teams, when you go back, even teams that win the sectional, go to the regionals or wherever, and we talked about this after one of our close wins on the road, every team has a game or two where you look back and like, what the hell happened in that game? You know what I mean? How did they go to overtime? How did they lose to them? You know, there's always games like that. So we're going to have those. And, you know, every game we go into, even schools size-wise, like the enrollment are way smaller than us. Rising Sun, for example. They had three guys taller than our tallest guy. You know, we're always going to be the smaller team. So that presents some challenges in the game of basketball when the hoop's 10 feet in the air. But, you know, that means we have to get all also the ugly points, all the hidden points. We have to win the game in the margins. And that's not easy for guys to see sometimes. And a lot of those things you have to experience before you like you get that aha moment. You know, I want to go 22-0 every year.
Sure.
But I think those post-game talks, I always say a win is a win is a win, and we're not going to give it back.
Yep.
But these things are going to bite us at some point. Yeah. And so it, and a little, I'm not happy we lost. I'm never happy we lost. Mm-hmm. But I am happy that if we're going to lose, we lose now. Right? We're going to be so much better in February than we are now. But it's really hard when you're dealing with high school guys to convince them there's still work to be done and we're not a finished product.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can look at you and say, well, coach, we're 4-0. Which we were. Mm-hmm. And now we're not. because of those things that I was talking about is going to bite us eventually. You can't live on the edge all year long. At some point, like Adam said, we have to go in and dictate for 32 minutes the way we want to play.
So kind of going back to two senior captains here and being in leadership roles, we talked about maybe like in game, looking in somebody's eyes, just making sure that they're kind of in the moment and locked in and not too big for them. We're just kind of talking about the season as a whole. Do you have any conversations with some of the younger guys on the varsity team that there may be some ups and downs and you have to work that much harder when the downs are there and maybe even work that much harder when the ups are there too? Like, do you have any active conversations about how to navigate the whole entire season? Because it's long and it's not always going to be perfect.
I haven't had a so there's a freshman on our team. His name's Scout. He mm-hmm. plays a lot. And in one of the games, I didn't have a specific conversation with him, but you could kind of tell, like, it started to click. He was not scoring well. He didn't have a great game. He couldn't get a ball to roll in the hoop. But he did the little stuff. He got a couple steals. He got some hustle plays. He got hold of the ball. And then at the end of the game, he made a really good pass that pretty much sealed the game. So it wasn't like a specific conversation. It was just constant buildup. Like, hey, move on to the next play. You'll be okay. There's always more basketball to be played. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to say he saved the day for us, but he made a clutch play that was really important, and we got the win because of it.
And I heard a bunch of stuff there that he did not scoring the ball. There's so many ways to impact the game. Do you have conversations with your players about that? And, you know, when the shots aren't falling, that you got to find another way to positively impact the game?
Yeah. So I talked a little bit more about it last year, and this is coming back, fellas. But we talked about the value of and, right? So you have to be able to do this and this and this and this. If mm-hmm. your only thing is, well, I score, well, what am I going to do with you when you're 1-for-8?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If the only thing you do is I play defense, well, what am I going to do when you have 3 fouls in the first half? So you have to be able to do multiple things to be a complete basketball player. Really good teams. And I do think we have the ability to do this. Really good high school teams. If you have 5 guys on the floor that can make the right play, that doesn't mean they can go by 3 guys and finish at the hoop contest or anything like that, but mm-hmm. just make the right play, you can be a really hard team to stop.
Because mm-hmm.
If you look around, even like the really, really good teams, it's 1 or 2 guys, and after that, you kind of take your chances, which we kind of, that's what we do against other teams, right? And sometimes it might come back and bite you when those other guys are able to make plays. So we want to be that type of team where it's like, well, you know, for instance, like Brody, he's going to be face guarded. They're going to try to grab and hold, and I would.
Mm-hmm.
I would never let him catch it.
Right.
Right? Because when he doesn't have it, we get stuck a little bit sometimes. Most teams do. You take their point guard off the floor, it's not going to look the same. Right? So, and we try to do that to other people. That's the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But, yeah, I think we have a lot of guys that are still, you know, I can think of 2, Mason Hamlet and Connor Huff, that have been thrust into. You know, those guys were not expecting to see the minutes this year that they have. And I think they have grown exponentially from, I mean, if you would have gone back in time, even to like July, August, conversation I had with my coaching staff, we weren't talking about them as one as a starter and one as a serious rotation minutes. And they are, and they're not going anywhere. I think they've really stepped up. But it's also because these other guys, there's that confidence, you know, and I try to do a pretty good job too, but it means a lot more when they're coming from their peers mm-hmm. than from me.
Sure.
Right. Because at the end of the day, I might have to pull them every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. But it means a lot more when these guys are picking them up.
Sure. Let's talk about the schedule coming up, because you got a couple of tournaments. We know about the Rivertown Classic. We'll be there to call all eight games, girls and boys tournaments. We love being at the Rivertown Classic. But you're heading down to Tennessee, down to the old Smoky Mountains for a holiday tournament just after Christmas. How'd this come about, and what competition might you see down in Tennessee?
Well, I was thinking how much I would miss all my guys over Christmas break.
Yeah,
and I thought to myself, how can I spend more time?
And you guys want to be with Coach too, right?
Of course. Where else would we want to be?
There's only one right answer.
Where else would we want to be?
Yeah. So I was like, not only would I spend more time, I can almost sort of keep them in one location with me for three whole days.
That's awesome.
And I don't know, that pays for it in and of itself.
Yeah,
you know, just some things money can't buy, you know? So I'm going down there for the experience, and we happen to play three basketball games.
Okay.
But it is, to answer your question, it's, first of all, these guys deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
They work their butts off. Secondly, it's fun. High school basketball is supposed to be fun at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. Winning is the ultimate fun, and it takes hard work. It's not necessarily fun to get there, but yeah, it also helps us, you know, sell our program a little bit. It's a cool thing. Not everyone goes down there. And like I said, it's an opportunity for these guys to get away. I knew this year would be a great year. Again, I can trust these guys. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be doing anything crazy stuff. I'm assuming no one's going on any midnight bear hunts.
I don't know, Coach. I'm a big bear guy.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. We might come back with nine guys. But I know we got a lot of young guys, and it's a nice thing to get away, mm-hmm. kind of have them hang out. Not that they don't hang out anyway and know each other off the court, but it's kind of cool for coaches too to just kind of hang out. They don't always, me not working in the building, I don't see these guys really outside of practice.
Yeah.
So
good team bonding opportunity. What are you guys looking forward to going down to Tennessee?
I'm looking forward to seeing some Bears. I don't know about Coach, but I'm excited to be around the guys outside of practice and outside of school because, I mean, we see them. Like, mm-hmm. we'll hang out, but nothing like this. I mean, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go down there.
Brody?
Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, I think I hang out with some of the guys, like Peyton and Scout and all them. But with all the other guys, I think it'll be fun, especially in the hotel. And
We'll be able to do some not stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So down in that area, a lot of, like, mini golf and go-karts and stuff like that. Is there going to be some time for some fun like that?
Absolutely. So you did notice that neither one of their answers involved hanging out with their head coach more. That didn't go unnoticed.
That was a suit.
Nope,
that
too late.
Was a suit.
Nope, too late. So, yeah.
Late.
No, it'll be a kind of little, like, a little family vacation. It'll be a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool. So. And then, of course, the host of the Rivertown Classic. I think that means a lot to all four schools that participate. It's been going on for so long. It's just good bragging rights over the opposing schools if you can cut down the nets. And it's in your own building, so you don't want to lose that one. What do you guys look forward to most come Rivertown time?
Getting some revenge.
I think it's awesome because the gym is always packed.
Yeah.
And I don't know about everyone else, but I love when people are there to watch. Yeah. There's just something about playing in front of a big crowd. That's why I love football.
Absolutely.
Everyone's there at football games. So it's the same thing with Rivertown. There's just a bunch of people, and it's a lot of fun.
I pretty much encourage everybody every week on this show to get out and get in the gyms and make it an awesome atmosphere for you guys and the gals out there in Eagle Country, because it is an awesome experience being out there in front of a packed gym and feeling the roar of the crowd when you're doing something good. What are your impressions of the Rivertown after getting your first taste last year?
Yeah, so like you said, it was my first experience last year. It is what makes this area so cool. I know a lot of counties around us have the county tournaments, whatever. It's probably a pretty similar feel, you know, but you're talking, in this case, you're talking about rivalries that go back generations.
Right.
So that's always cool. And it is in our building. It's great exposure for South Dearborn as well. Our gym is amazing this year. I don't know if you've seen the new one.
I was going to ask about that. It looks cool.
It's going to look cool, but it is. It's one of those things that's hard to describe the difference when the games start. It does have a bit of like a sectional feel to it, kind of. You know, because like this year we'll be playing at 6 o'clock in our own gym. There's a game with two other teams that aren't us afterwards. So it has that little bit of a tournament feel.
Right.
It's cool to kind of hang out and watch those other games. But at the end of the day, we want to win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a good idea of who might be standing in our way, which always makes it even more fun.
So it makes it fun from our standpoint as sure. well. We're very much looking forward to it. One of the other things I saw on your guys' schedule is towards the end of the year, 5 of the last 7 on the road, and some pretty good teams in there. I'm looking at, you know, Connor, South Ripley, Lawrenceburg. Those should be some pretty competitive games. I feel like that's going to be a really good stretch to really get your team prepared for that sectional run.
We'll find out. We'll find out what we're about. We did have the opportunity to schedule a couple home games against what, in my opinion, was lesser opponents. And that's not the point of regular season basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not the NCAA where you're trying to stack a resume, even in other states where, like, you know, coaches may vote and it might be pulled. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You want to win them all, but it doesn't. It's still a random draw. Mm-hmm. So our seating's not on the line. Not to mention, what message are you sending about, if you send a message to guys about we're always ready to compete, respect every opponent, you're winning, you're trying to win every game, and you schedule a bunch of teams that you're going to win by 30, what's the point? I think there are times where you may win a game, but you can get worse because the quality of your opponent might be a little lower, and you start to do things that, again, will come back and bite you against better ones.
And finally, I just want to kind of open this up. We were chatting before the show started. What's piquing everybody's interest in the sports world right now? I think I know where some of this might go.
How about them Bengals?
Man, that's been quite the ride these last few weeks. 3 wins in a row with Jake Browning at the quarterback. And obviously, we know you played quarterback at a very high level, at the high school level. What do you think, old Jake the Snake at the helm there? He's doing pretty good, huh?
Jake's playing confident, and it's awesome to watch. Because after his first actual start, people were like, maybe let's get another guy in there. But, man, he's coming and he's playing well, and it's fun to watch.
Absolutely, Coach. I know you're loving what's going on with the Bengals.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been. I don't have that kind of money. My dad's been a season ticket holder for 30-something, you know, since Riverfront Stadium. Mm-hmm. So I've been through lots of 2-14 seasons in the rain with 15,000 of my closest friends. and just so you know, you're not going to hear anything from Bodie until you say something about UK or John Calipari.
Oh, I know.
But once you say that, I can't help you.
Well, so we're running out of time, but you can talk a little bit. What's is it all UK for you right now? That's it's all about?
You know,
big win against Carolina?
Big win against North Carolina. You know, I watched that in that last minute. I didn't say a peep. How about that? I was happy about myself for that, but it was hard. It's fun to watch. Them guards are... The way they play is so nice. I love that. Spaced out and just do their thing.
I feel really old because I watched DJ Wagner's dad play at Memphis.
Okay,
That was a long time. He was good.
That was Calipari.
Right. Dwan was fantastic. So I like watching him. And what do you think their ceiling is this season?
I say SEC-wise, they're going to win it. They're going to win the SEC. I know they are.
Okay.
And then NCAA, they're going to go at least the Final Four. I don't know.
All right, I'm writing all this down. So
I'm telling you what.
A little callback at the end of the season.
At least the Final Four. I got a national championship because I always have hope in them. Well, but,
you got to be the optimist.
Yep. And they haven't got their 7-footers back. Once they get, well, he came for like 2 minutes, but once he starts playing all the time, we're going to be good.
Get the big boys in there and round out the team. All right. So we got the Bengals still alive at the playoffs. Brody's calling national championship for the Wildcats. We'll fall short of a Super Bowl for the Bengals. We're just going to stay on the
just
ride.
Just going to be competitive.
Yeah, we just want to stay on the ride.
Just keep winning. You know, we'll take
keep
that.
Keep winning. Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to let you guys go. We appreciate you coming in tonight, talking a little South Dearborn basketball. We will see you the first of the year at the Rivertown Classic.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for covering us.
All right. No problem. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear from Jake Miners and Mr. Football Josh Ringer. You're listening to Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3.
It's time for a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Doc, let's start off by hearing a little bit about OrthoCincy and what services you provide to the community.
Yes, so I do a little bit of everything. It ranges from hand stuff. I'll do procedures in the office like trigger fingers, carpal tunnels. And then, of course, you've got more of the kind of the outpatient things, you know, that chronic shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, you know, things like arthritis. Those are more appropriately kind of worked up on an outpatient basis. See you in the office, get some x-rays, and then kind of kind of talk about, you know, your treatment options and whether that's, you know, non-surgical or surgical options. You know, orthopedics care is absolutely both non-surgical and surgical things.
And how about helping injured student athletes in the area?
The biggest question when you come in is, hey, is this something that you can play through or not? And so a lot of times, again, that starts with an x-ray, starts with an exam. And even if we have to get next step, something like an MRI, and usually have a little bit quicker trigger just because, again, there's, you know, you don't have time to see if this gets better or not in 3 weeks. You want to know, can I play this weekend or not? And so if we do need something like an MRI, try to do a really good job of holding kind of urgent MRI spots for our athletes and try to get them in as soon as possible. That way we get that information. And again, it's, you know, it's a matter of are you hurt or are you injured? And if it's, you know, if it hurts, but everything structurally checks out okay, then tape it and, you know, do some exercises, but have at it.
That's a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. More Crunch Time now. Welcome back to Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3. Don't forget that Dr. Brian Whistle, Dr. Roman Trimba, and Dr. Ron Auer, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, OrthoCincy.com. And to round out our show this evening, we have a pre-recorded interview with East Central football head coach Jake Miners and the star running back Josh Ringer, Mr. Football himself. We caught up with Coach Miners and Josh very soon after the announcement last Thursday that Josh was indeed Mr. Football in the state of Indiana, receiving 66% of the votes from the Indiana Football Coaches Association members. So a runaway winner, no pun intended there, and I don't think it's a big surprise that Josh ended up being Mr. Football considering the year he just had. 2,880 rushing yards, single season school record, and 55 rushing touchdowns, scored 60 overall. Humongous year for Josh. Awesome career there at East Central, and of course help leading his Trojans to two state championships in a row. So without further ado, here is my earlier conversation with head coach Jake Miners and of course Mr. Football Josh Ringer. This is only the second time this has ever happened at East Central, so what were your initial reactions here in Josh's Mr. Football?
Just incredibly proud of him, incredibly happy, you know, for him. He's worked so hard, you know, it's been such a key figure within our program the last 4 years. And I think it caps off his high school career in a positive way. You know, I think he'd be the first to tell you that he was extremely happy about the back-to-back state championships. But for him to receive that sort of recognition on a statewide level, it's just incredible. Extremely proud for him to have this moment. You know, I think he hates the light being shown on him sometimes, but he's definitely earned this, and it's a really cool experience for him.
When you go back and look at his stat line, not only from the senior season, but just for his career at East Central, what do you think of that? It's mind-boggling what he's been able to do.
It is mind-boggling, you know, and realistically, if it weren't for, you know, him being contact traced a few times his freshman year, dealing with an ankle injury, his sophomore year, his career stats might even be better than what they ended up being. But, you know, I think he broke nearly every single record we have career-wise, season-wise, game-wise. He's really rewritten everything that we have. Every week we come back and honestly be a little surprised about how many touchdowns, how many rushing yards that he was able to put up on a week-to-week basis. And it's just incredible as a coach, you know, when you have a player that is so willing to work. You know, he's earned absolutely everything that's been given to him, and every statistic that he's been able to achieve, it's him. And it's the hard work and the dedication that he's been able to put in. So just really proud of him. You know, I honestly run out of words to say about him from when you look at our records and you look at everything that he has been able to achieve. I don't think any of us would have seen that coming in, you know, him as a freshman. We knew he was a really, really good player who was going to do incredible things in our program, but I don't think any of us could fathom the amount of records that he was able to put up.
And then one final thought from you on Josh. You've talked about him before as a player and just a human being. What kind of person is Miami of Ohio getting at the collegiate level?
one of my favorite human beings on this planet. He is a young man who is extremely humble. He's a young man that's incredibly hardworking, and I just love the way that he represents our program. He represents himself and his family and the community. He's just incredible. He takes everything with such grace, and being just humble and honestly pushing the light on other people when he deserves some recognition. And I know I'll miss coaching him. He showed up every day willing to work, willing to get better, trying to fine-tune his craft. And honestly, if I could say such a thing, I think his best football is still ahead of him. I know that he's going to continue to work and continue to get better, they're going to really, really like him up in Oxford.
That's fantastic. If you want to put Josh on now, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Congratulations on being named Mr. Football. I want you to kind of walk me through how this happened today, how you learned that you have won that prestigious award.
Well, I was just in an English class when my teacher told me Coach Myers wanted to see me, so I just walked out there. Then we met up with Mr. Moore. They said something about setting up for signing day next Wednesday or just showing me what was going on next week. But then they took me to, like, a place where nobody signs. So I was a little, like, suspicious. But then we walked in the natatorium. All my family was there, and I was just like, they just kind of announced it to me.
So they caught you by surprise a little bit.
Yeah.
So what was kind of your initial thought when you learned that you were Mr. Football?
I was really just, I just remembered how blessed I was to be in a position to even get this award. So just really a blessing by God.
Absolutely. And I know Coach said you're not one that really likes talking about yourself. It's kind of hard to do, but you've had such a phenomenal career. The senior season was unbelievable. All the records that you've set, when you kind of sit back and think about it, what kind of goes through your mind? Like, the numbers are video game like.
Yeah, I just feel like this is what I've been working for since I was younger, and just I've been surrounded by such great coaches and the teammates that just would do anything for me. I'd do the same for them, so they just helped me accomplish this.
Very good. And to be able to kind of cap off your senior season with a second straight state title, I'm sure that makes winning this award all that more sweet, knowing that you had that great team success as well.
Yeah, 100%. That was the main goal for us at the beginning of the season. So,
and when you look back on your time at East Central, what's maybe something you're going to remember most about playing football there?
I'm going to have to remember that. Both those state championships. That was definitely the highlight of my years.
Very good. And what are you most looking forward to now that you're kind of preparing yourself to get ready for college football?
I'm just looking forward to being surrounded by a bunch of athletes who love to compete and just have love for the game. And I'm just excited to go out there and step out into a new world of football.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations again on winning Mr. Football. It's been a thrill watching you play and covering your games over the past few years, and we wish you nothing but the best at Miami of Ohio.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just wanted to say another thank you to Jake Miners and Josh Ringer for taking time to talk about Josh's Mr. Football win here in the state of Indiana. Not sure that much more can be said on the topic after Josh himself and Coach Miners talked about it, but another great year for East Central football. Of course, Josh, what he did to the record book out there, absolutely unbelievable. And as Coach Miners alluded to, if he didn't miss time freshman and sophomore year because of contact tracing and the ankle injury, those records would be even more astronomical. Just an amazing career, a super humble kid, and somebody that is well deserving of winning Mr. Football. So can't thank Coach Miners and Josh enough for taking the time to talk about that amazing moment. That is something that people aren't going to forget anytime soon in these parts. Amazing, amazing season, and we were glad to be just a small part of it, covering it here at your hometown radio station. So with that, We are out of time on this edition of Crunch Time. Another big thanks to the South Dearborn boys basketball team for coming out tonight. Coach Cosgrove and a few of his star players in studio to talk about the Knights. They'll be in action on Thursday at South Decatur, looking to notch their fifth win of the season. We got two games coming your way this week. East Central will host Milan tomorrow night in boys basketball. 7:10 pregame coverage, 7:30 tip-off. Myself and Chuck Thomas will bring you the call. Then on Thursday, it is Lawrenceburg and Rising Sun in a girls basketball tilt at Lawrenceburg's annual Hooping for Hope game. That will be a 7:10 pregame, 7:30 tip-off from Lawrenceburg High School with myself and Mike Perleberg on the call. So looking forward to those two games and looking forward to having a Monday off next week. No crunch time due to the Christmas holiday. We'll be here for crunch time, however, on New Year's Day as we will get into a Rivertown Classic preview. We'll touch on the Ripley County Basketball Tournament as well, so something to look forward to. Thank you so much for tuning into the show this evening. Big thanks to our great sponsor, OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We'll talk at you again on New Year's Day. It's Eagle Country 99.3.